Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Bare Necessities podcast. Reese, it's been a little bit of time. How have you been?
Yeah. I've been pretty good, you know. I prepared for this podcast by watching The Conjuring 2, and it's just got me in the right mindset to watch this. No, in all seriousness, it's been good. Been busy, but you know, it's good to hop back on this podcast. It's weird though, because it's probably this first week there where we're not swimming in a lot of information. We were kind of, I guess, blessed in a way over the first couple of weeks of the NFL offseason with a bunch of news, and now we're kind of sitting here waiting for news. The franchise tag window opened up, and not much action.
Yeah, you know, the franchise tag window is always a really interesting time. And typically before the deadline, we also, like, as of the past couple years, have seen some trades as well. I don't know the exact reason for so, but it's just before the deadline, I guess teams want to know more of their cap situation, so there tends to be some trades. I believe that DeAndre Hopkins and Stephon Diggs were both traded right at the franchise tag deadline, which, you know, that's hopefully this year we have the same thing. It sucks whenever there's a boring news week, and unfortunately it kind of feels like this was one of those weeks. So a lot of this episode is going to be largely revolving around more, you know, topics that we kind of came up with, talking a little bit forward looking at the draft. We're trying to kind of stay away from so much quarterback talk because it's like, damn, what else is there to talk about with this Bears team? So we're going to try to, you know, implement a little bit more creativity in this podcast.
Yeah. And, you know, I personally like those kind of topics. I mean, generally, you know, when we're scheming back and we're like, oh yeah, we're trying to create like a YouTube video with this one, you know, we try to look for things that are maybe going to stand out a little bit more, but you know, at the same time, it's cool to sit here and play the hypothetical game, because really that's what the offseason is all about. It's about sitting here and kind of being like, you know, you kind of have your own chance to be the GM here and be like, well, I want to grab such and such, and I want to move up and grab such and such. You know, you get to kind of play your own game of Madden here in real life. And, you know, it's almost certainly how things certainly never turn out the way that you picture them in your head. But, you know, it's always cool to sit there and look back at it. And, you know, it's always exciting once we start to see some of these things start to fall in place. And, yeah, I mean, we've just been drilling the hell out of the quarterback position because it's been one of those things. I think we've been, you know, pretty antsy waiting for some kind of answer for that position. But, you know, we're going to be sitting here for a little bit longer, it seems like. And, you know, kind of the longer this goes on, though, it tells us more and more. I mean, once we get up to the draft, if this team hasn't taken a quarterback, you have to be seriously sitting there on draft day, especially on the first night, sitting here thinking, we might very well take a QB right here.
The hard thing also is that I was hoping that as some of the quarterback trades fell, it would resolve like teams in front of us as far as draft position go. You know, I was hoping that it wouldn't be the Rams, who, you know, didn't have a first round pick this year. I was hoping it wasn't the Colts, who pretty much came out and said they weren't going to draft a quarterback completely. So it kind of sucks that the way it ended up breaking is that, you know, essentially we're not able to, you know, it's not making anything easier. In fact, it's probably making things harder for the Chicago Bears as things have kind of been going so far. And we've been looking and we've been hoping that the Chicago Bears are going to make this, you know, bold move. And I still believe they will. I think that's very clearly why they brought back Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, is because they're not ready to kind of let this thing go. But as things kind of fall, it's hard to not kind of feel a little more, you know, hopeless and as if our next quarterback isn't going to be Mac Jones.
Yeah, it's been real interesting. I mean, I think across the YouTube comments, kind of the sentiment that I've gotten across, there's a lot of fans that feel like we're in a real tough position. And you know what? I think to back up some of those fans and to kind of, you know, go with them in a way, yeah, this team is in a tough spot. I mean, honestly, they put themselves in a tough position this offseason by kind of being in such a transient position. You know, no one really knows what the outlook of this team is going to look like a year from now, because we don't know who the head coach is going to be, who the GM is going to be. At the same time, though, you know, they're not completely trapped. This team isn't buried. There are options out there. And, you know, fortunately, you know, the Rams did take someone that could be potentially this team's next QB. But, you know, we're in a better position as far right now as far as having draft capital, which can be moved. We, you know, we have, you know, we have players that are good capital that, you know, are worth something in a trade. You know, luckily this team isn't, you know, what we were a couple years back, where if you're trying to make a trade, there wasn't really much capital to go around. So luckily we're in a bit better of a place right now. But, you know, it's inherently a tough position. And just as the quarterbacks are going off the board, the longer and longer it goes on, you know, then you kind of start going over these names. You're like, ah, you know, Winston, Mariota. And that's why we're constantly doing these quarterback videos, because
Big Ben is all off the table now too. They walked back on their statement. And Ben's GM pretty much said that, yeah, there's no way he's playing for another team next year. So it's like, it's one of those situations where it's like, okay, you know, we thought that we were bringing these guys back with the intent of having a good team next year, which automatically kind of, you know, takes the draft off the table. And now it's, now we're kind of talking about, hey, you know, are we really going to try to compete with a guy like, you know, Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston or, God forbid, Gardner Minshew? Like,
or Nick Foles. I mean, honestly, I mean, how, honestly, right now, we just have to gauge. I want, on, like, off the top of your head right now, we're not going to spend much time on this, but just give me a percentage right now that Nick Foles is week one taking the first snap.
Week one, I think it's very high. Because even if we draft a quarterback, which the Bears might do if all of their other options aren't left on the table, I think that odds are week one, Nick Foles does take the first snap if we do draft a quarterback. But does the odds he plays for the entire season, I'm going to say like less than 10% in my head. Probably 10%.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be something to track throughout this offseason because, you know, no one's really talking. I mean, some people are talking about it. Some people have, you know, brought up the point that we could very well be seeing Nick Foles under center because, you know, he's the one that's under contract at that position right now. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, I know we're only sitting here. It's only February. You know, free agency hasn't even technically opened up yet. Yeah. But, you know, it just kind of feels like the, you know, it already feels like it's been a long time.
we you know, it does. And it feels like we're waiting a millennium to essentially get an answer at such a critical position, because I don't think it's, I mean, whoever plays quarterback for the Chicago Bears in 2020 is going to completely change the outlook of the team. So we don't even know if we're allowed to be optimistic at this point, because if Nick Foles is returning, and while, yes, I think he would have done much better, and I think he might even be, God forbid, a little bit better than Mitch if he actually had an offensive line in front of him. What I don't foresee happening is him taking us to the Super Bowl or winning us any major games. Or like, my best hope is if we're running this back with Nick Foles, would solely be that we literally do as worse as possible so we can just get a damn good pick in the 2021 NFL draft. Or sorry, the 2022. Geez. Man, these years are flying by. The 2022 NFL draft, and maybe get, you know, someone like Sam Howell or Keaton Slovis out of USC. Some highly regarded names.
Yeah, you know, and you hate to kind of take that tanking line, but, you know, if Foles is walking out and he's looking like the long-term starter for this team at quarterback, it's kind of like, you know what? Yeah. Just we'll take the season pass. Honestly. And please let the football gods give us something good, you know, with the first overall pick, you know.
I kind of wonder how high the odds are that the Chicago Bears trade Mac this season. Like, it's a less than 0% chance for sure. And if they're going on this like full rebuild situation, I mean, he could, if you're talking about a player that can get you high up in the draft, he's someone who can get you high up in the draft like this. immediately, you know? So I almost wonder, because like I feel like a team like Miami, who's third overall, who's looking to build a team around Tua, as it seems, I almost wonder if they would take just a Mac 4-3 trade. That might be a little bit of an overvalue for Mac at this point because he hasn't had his best two seasons of late. Maybe they would take like Mac in a second. Or what if we just package like Mac and Allen Robinson on a tag and trade? I feel like they'd accept that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, honestly, I feel like the Mac for the three overall could potentially happen on a good day. You know, I think that, you know, I could see it happening. It doesn't seem too far-fetched. Yeah, exactly. And a team that's already priding itself on its defense, and that's just the piece that's needed to go over the top. I feel like if that, I'm not discounting it. I feel like, what, maybe there's a 10% chance or so that he ends up getting traded this offseason, 10 to 15. But I feel like if they were going full rebuild, they definitely would have fired Nagy and Pace, right?
Yeah, that's the
thought. I don't know, though. But then you again, never know with this organization.
Why didn't they answer the questions about their contracts is the other thing. Like, did they...
Bro, who knows?
Could they have maybe... There's a very real scenario that the decision made this offseason was not for the following year. It's for the foreseeable future. That Ryan Pace got an extension and Nagy and him are going to be on the same timeline and they're going to get a shot together to quote unquote collaborate and make this team a better team. But I don't like, otherwise, why the hell would you be so adamant at not answering the question about Ryan Pace's contract?
Yeah, it's so much smoke and mirrors, man. It's frustrating, you know, because you want to know the answers to these things. And it's, you know, as fans, you want to know what you're looking at, you know, heading into the season. It's you can't really put anything into perspective. You know, it's tough to really understand the full scope of what's going on because they're keeping so many things in back inside Hal's Hall.
Yeah, and I hope that, you know, after the draft and free agency, we can look back at this and, you know, say, okay, what happened made sense. It understands why they kept them. This is actually a solid plan that they put into place. But as the days continue to wind down, I just feel so defeated as a Bears fan. And it doesn't help all the commenters whenever we talk about something even remotely good about the Bears that they're always like, the Bears organization sucks. Do not expect anything but complete shit out of them next year.
I mean, you know, and I'm not saying that they're right, but at the same time, you look at it historically and it's like, you know, it's not encouraging. You know, I mean, you look at what this team has done, but the frustrating part is that right now they're in one of the best positions they ever have been. It's just there are a few pieces away. I mean, realistically, they're a quarterback and an offensive line away from being a true
lineman. Maybe it's a left tackle that they need.
Or two. Yeah. I mean, being realistic, probably like two offensive linemen and a good quarterback.
Yeah.
But, you know, it still feels so far away because this team can never get over it.
It does. It does. And I'm a little bit afraid that quarterback's going to be someone like Andy Dalton. Like, I think that's a very possible scenario right there.
I would have been happy with that a year ago.
I know, exactly.
A year ago, I was looking at Andy Dalton being like, okay. And now I'm like, well.
If they just bring in another one of these retread guys again, it's so hard to not feel like it's the exact same plan as last year. And it seems like insanity at that point. Like, you have to... I understand maybe bringing in another retread guy as long as you draft your quarterback. Because then it's like, okay, so we just think that the Nick Foles experiment is not going to work out. So we're going to at least swap him out with someone else. Get somebody in the building that you feel comfortable with. And then draft a quarterback. But I think what we should do is I think we should move on and let you know that support for the Bear Necessities podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you with the best tools for the grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide, and we have an exclusive offer code for our listeners. 20% off and free shipping using code BEARNECESSITIES at manscaped.com. Now, Reese, I'm going to ask you, what has been so far your favorite product that they sent us? I think they sent us their, what's it, their Perfect Package 3.0, I believe is their Perfect Package 3.0.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I mean, there's a couple of things. I mean, honestly, I really love the bag. You know, the little bag that you get to like tote around and keep everything
in. I think they call it the shed.
The shed, yeah. I love the shed. And, you know, the fact that the lawnmower 3.0, you can charge it right on that dock is so nice and convenient. Just to place it down there, you can kind of just forget about it. And then, you know, I will say I have used the ball deodorant.
Okay.
I mean,
all right.
You know, it was decent. You know, I don't really know exactly how to report back the effects on that one. You know, I guess my balls did not smell on that day, but
okay.
You know,
all right.
That's what I'll say.
All right. And, you know, they really, as Reese mentioned, they literally have everything you could possibly need for whatever your needs are. And listen, we know that listeners to this podcast, we know that you all are alpha males. You know, we know that you are the top of the top of the food chain, and we know that you get some action. So you need to make sure that for instances like that, that you are, you know, making sure that everything is perfect. So go ahead, check them out. By checking them out, you're going to help financially support the podcast. Obviously, we've talked about pretty extensively on YouTube. I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast that our goal is to implement a video portion for this podcast by the beginning of next season, and not just a video portion, a very high quality visual experience. So if you check it out, just check it out. You know, if there is something you like, my favorite thing in the entire bag, I think, has been the underwear. I think the underwear is unbelievable. And that's like, truthfully, my personal opinion. I've worn it multiple times. I've had to specifically wash it. It's really good for anybody who, you know, likes to work out a lot. It's like anti-chafing. It's got like a really nice material to it. Highly recommend those. Lawnmower 3.0, you know, that's their premier product. You know, that's what everyone's going to tell you about. That's another great product that I've used. Haven't got to try any of the formulations yet, but, you know, after Reese's raving review, I might have to myself.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. And I will say for this too, I mean, for like the formulas, I mean, it's, you don't have to worry about it too much out in California, but I'll tell you what, like, it's so cold and dry out here. I mean, it just finally started getting warmer. Like, it's in the 30s out here, so it feels like summertime. But I'll tell you what, you know, just having the dry skin, like having that, those kind of formulas you can put. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all know that the dry skin, it's not limited to just like our hands or our elbows, you know, it can be, you know, everything. So it definitely kicks them down there. If it's not just for the looks, you know, with the Lawnmower 3.0, it can also be for the comfort. I mean, just, you know, being able to have it, you can trim it to whatever length you want. You know, it's everything that you need.
Get 20% off and free shipping using code BEARNECESSITIES. There's no space in that. Check the description. Make sure you're spelling it right. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code BEARNECESSITIES. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job. All right, well, let's go ahead and move on to what's really our first topic. That was kind of a longer, you know, talk about in the introduction, but the Arlington Horse Track, you know, in Arlington Heights, I've been there personally. It was pretty fun going as a kid to the horse race. I don't know. Have you been there, Reese?
No, I never have. I know exactly. I've actually seen it, but I've never been in it to watch a horse race. No.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. Honestly, it's like it's a cool experience. You can, you know, people over 18 can gamble there, obviously. But the track is actually being sold. And there's a little bit of speculation going on online and on Twitter that the Chicago Bears may potentially be interested in buying it and converting it into a new stadium. And a lot of the logic that lines up with this has been, there's been, you know, projects in the past that have looked at converting Soldier Field to a dome and having that whole conversion. And the price was just ridiculous. It would have been almost cheaper to just build an entirely new stadium than it would have been to try to add a dome on top of Soldier Field. And Soldier Field is notably one of the most smallest stadiums in the NFL as far as seating goes. So a lot of people are saying, hey, in the Chicagoland area, there's not a whole bunch of areas that are perfect for a stadium. Why not, you know, take a look at it and potentially build a brand new Bears stadium? And there's some people who are pushing back with, you know, obviously Soldier Field has a lot of Bears history to it. A very historical place. You know, the location is awesome. Right off of Michigan Avenue, right on the lake there. It can get chilly, but especially when you're up in the nosebleeds.
Lakeshore Drive, man. Michigan Avenue. What the hell?
What?
It's not off Michigan
Avenue. It's like not too far. It's like, it's not off of it, but it's like half a mile. Not even half a mile. You always take...
It's close. It's close. I'll give you that, but you know,
it's not by Mag Mile, but it definitely is close to Michigan Avenue, and it's in a good location. You know, it is in a good location.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah, right on the lakefront, beautiful. You know,
so
I will say this though, I think that if you ever dream of having a Super Bowl in Chicago, that's the only way it's ever going to happen is with a dome, of course. I mean, they tried that one New York Super Bowl in the winter, and obviously they're never going to do that again. And I actually laugh because I think the weekend of the Super Bowl is when it was brutally cold here. And it's like, yeah, that's why they're never going to play a Super Bowl here. If you ever want to see a Super Bowl, if you want to feel comfortable during winter games, I know that's part of the appeal is having that Bears weather, you know, and also for the kind of home field advantage too, right? You know, we have Bears weather that, you know, separates us from those warm weather, you know, teams down south. I wouldn't be opposed to it. I don't think I'd openly advocate for it. I think it'd be cool to have a bit bigger and more modern stadium. I do like the appeal of Soldier Field, you know, going to the game, especially when it's like, when it's one of those nice October days and it's like pretty sunny and pretty warm still, and being in Soldier Field right in that lakefront, getting that nice breeze, it's beautiful, you know, to be out there in the fall watching the game. And, you know, maybe the dome would take that away a good bit. I would be open to the idea of it. I wouldn't be, you know, mad if they eventually bought it and said they're building it and they're going to move out in like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years.
Also, the one thing that, okay, for a couple of reasons, I don't think it's going to happen. The first part is I think it's too far from downtown. It's a good like 30-45 minutes probably to the track that's there currently. And also outside of that, I just think that the way this organization is run, they're not, I just can't foresee them looking to do like a new NFL thing, which is like playing in a dome. They're a very traditionalist team. No, it's okay. They're a very traditionalist team, you know. It doesn't necessarily seem like they'd be interested in kind of doing something like that. But I do think it could be beneficial. I don't know if anybody has actually paid to use one of the tailgate lots for the Chicago Bears games, but one of them is way too far away from the stadium. A couple of them are. And you have to take a damn bus to get over to the stadium. And that was absolutely terrible before COVID. I can't even imagine how that ride's going to be during COVID, if by any means they're able to get fans at stadium next season.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. Unless you get the one that's, what, right by the McCormick place, like, you're so screwed. Because the one that's, like, even farther down Lakeshore Drive and, yeah, the fact that you have to take a bus there, like, really kind of, it defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not fun.
Like, I'm supposed to be parking for this game, tailgating next to the stadium, and here I am about like a mile away.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I obviously, Reese, you and I have done it multiple times, and it was still a fun experience, but it's like you pay so much damn money for that tailgate lot, and then you have to take a damn school bus over. It kind of sucks. Like, so, you know, I almost recommend that if people go to the Bears game, that I almost always, whenever, you know, people ask for my advice, tell them just skip out on the tailgate lot, or just don't do your own setup. Just go and hang out with other people in the tailgate lots and go park somewhere, you know, closer, you know, to the actual city, because you're going to get better prices and it's about the same damn distance anyways. So, that'd be really interesting, though. I would be really excited to actually go to a new Bears stadium. And again, I think that the way the league is moving, I think it's almost benefiting teams who play in these domes. So we're going to have to see on that. And we also know that we missed out on Tom Brady because he didn't want to play in the damn snow. So if that doesn't tell you that there is an attitude about playing in the snow that inherently disadvantages the Bears, I don't know what does.
Yeah. I mean, if you're any quarterback that's looking to put up some serious like numbers, you know, I mean, if you're a little bit selfish, which is fine, you have to know you're not going to be able to maximize out here in Chicago, because come late November into December, and if you're playing in the playoffs, fortunately, you know, you're dealing with some pretty nasty weather.
The Bears never have to worry about that, though, which is good.
not in recent memory. Yeah,
I'm just kidding. Okay, so now the next topic we're going to be moving on to, really, what are the needs of this Chicago Bears team this offseason? Because honestly, there's a lot of different situations where you can see needs popping up along the Chicago Bears. Obviously, the most apparent are at quarterback and offensive line. But there are some, you know, positions that may be sneaky needs. And one that I'm going to throw out first is cornerback. I cannot see the Bears signing Buster Skrine. I think they're going to cut Buster Skrine, actually. He's under contract this season, but I don't think he's going to play this season. Kyle Fuller is due to make $20 million this year. I don't know if the Bears are... I can almost guarantee you the Bears will not have Kyle Fuller play under a $20 million contract. I think he's either going to get maybe a short extension or be forced to take a pay cut. Which, you know...
Yeah.
So, and if he doesn't want to do that, he might be straight out cut, in which the Bears will save all $20 million.
Yeah, it seems unlikely that, you know, that $20 million contract is going to float. You know, especially, I mean, that's around the range that, you know, Robinson is asking for. And it just seems like that's kind of too pricey, you know, for this Bears team at the current moment. I think, you know, a couple of years ago when they were working with a bit more cap, it was doable, you know, and it passed by. But now it's just not looking as good. I think another one of those sneaky needs, maybe it's not quite as sneaky, but, you know, Allen Robinson, even if he stays or goes, there's still a need at that wide receiver position. I mean, yeah, we really thought that we were going to see more out of Anthony Miller. I really thought, honestly, that was probably my worst take from that last season, was thinking that Anthony Miller was going to take a big step up in this offense. I said that he had characteristics that were, you know, similar to someone like Odell Beckham in his early days, where he had ability to get separation in situations other people couldn't, and had a great ability to get yards after the catch. We didn't see that, you know, blame it on Trubisky, blame it on Miller's antics, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't pan out this year. And, you know, Mooney is a rising star. I think, you know, he has a lot of potential. I think that he's someone that could be, you know, someone that gets to 1,000 yards, 100 catches multiple times in his career. I don't think he's going to become like a house. I don't think he's going to become like a, you know, one of these elite wide receivers, but, you know, top caliber. At the same time, though, he really works out of that inside position, you know, better. You know, he's not someone that you want to consistently flex outside.
Mm-hmm.
So they do need to find, you know, more depth there. And some of these other guys that we thought, you know, Javon Wims, not Calvin Ridley, is it?
Riley Ridley.
Riley, my goodness. Riley Ridley, you know, we thought we'd see more from them. It just didn't happen again. So, you know, We're in a kind of a tough spot there.
Yeah, for wide receiver, it is a different situation whether Allen Robinson is there or not. I kind of wonder, a part of Anthony Miller's development, just how much of it is that Mitch couldn't make it to his third read. You know, I think that is a huge part of it. But, and I also saw Anthony Miller in the beginning of the season, he did have a pretty good season, but by the end of the season, he was just doing nothing. Completely nothing, honestly. And
yeah, not even a threat.
Not a threat at all. And he came up big in that Lions game. He had the final touchdown for the Bears. Pretty sure he had the final touchdown for the Bears in the Falcons game as well, in two major comebacks. He's a talented player. What I've seen is, you know, I've seen some speculation online that a big reason why the Bears haven't been throwing to him is because he runs the wrong routes often, which makes a little bit more sense, because when he does run routes correctly, he gets a lot of separation. He's always been, he's always had no issue with the route runnings, except if he's actually running the wrong routes and he's not studying the playbook enough, which is what the speculation is, then that would make a little bit more sense to me. But yeah, I thought Anthony Miller was going to be a really, really good wide receiver for the Bears for a long time. But unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be how it's playing out.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes you can be fooled. And I think in this case, it's not a matter of being fooled. But like you said, it's kind of just a few common reoccurring issues. You know, if he is running the wrong route, I mean, that is clearly a major issue for the wide receiver. Mm-hmm. I mean, the quarterback and the wide receiver need to be linked up on the same page. Otherwise, it's not something that can just lead to incompletions, but something that can lead to interceptions. And then, you know, like we did end up seeing, not saying it was, you know, that was the cause or not, but, you know, Miller started to fade away at the end of the season. They weren't looking at him as much. But, yeah, clearly the talent's there. I mean, I think that, you know, he could land with another team and be extremely successful. Or maybe he won't. Maybe that kind of, you know, the same issues will keep plaguing him for the rest of the career. That could very well be.
Yeah. Another need that I think a lot of people don't want to reference is the center position. I think a lot of people look at Sam Mustipher stepping in and they're like, oh yeah, he performed good and he was a major, he was a big jump for this offensive line. But I don't know if the Bears should necessarily settle with Mustipher, especially with how disposable drafts through the centers through the draft come. You know, there's, you can get like a really good center in the second or third round, especially in this draft. There's a couple of guys that are like looking to be like, you know, real good centers, yeah. Really.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, best case scenario, Mustipher doesn't have to play center. You know, if he ends up starting next year, so be it. You know, I can live with it. But the Bears can certainly do better. I do believe in that. He was someone that helped fix the play because the Bears started, one, getting chemistry along the line and, you know, were able to finally just get the strength in the right portion of the line by putting, you know, certain players at guard, and they're able to finally get some run blocking schemes that work for them. I think another one that jumps out to me is inside linebacker. And maybe it's, you know, with Roquan and Trevathan, seems like, well, that's all shored up. But, you know, we're one, you know, one injury from either Roquan Smith, but more than likely Trevathan, from having a massive hole in inside linebacker. And, you know, Nick Kwiatkowski played an incredible stopgap for when Trevathan went down previously in his time with the Bears. But we don't really have that depth at inside linebacker anymore. And, man, I know it's not the most important position on defense these days, but it certainly makes an impact.
There's some people talking about the fact that, and I know we're going to be talking about the draft later on the show, and this isn't a player that I have on my draft board either, but there's some people that are saying that the Bears at pick 20, Micah Parsons might still be available. A lot of people are saying that the specific need for inside linebacker isn't super high for the teams who are up higher in the draft. And some people are saying that they don't even believe he's the best inside linebacker. I do, personally. I think he's the best inside linebacker in the class. I know a lot of people are looking at the dude from Notre Dame as well. Cannot pronounce his last name to save the life of me, so I'm not even going to try. You know, if the Bears have a quarterback in already settled at that position, you know, even with the needs at offensive line, I wouldn't mind them taking another stud inside linebacker. Because I can't even imagine what a duo with Roquan Smith and Micah Parsons would do for this team. It would be quite insane how good they would be.
Yeah. You know, if there's a couple names, and I'll get to it later on, there's a couple names that if there were such offensive linemen there, I would be upset if they did take him. But if there were, if it gets to the situation where those players are off the board, then, you know, it kind of gets to the point where he's in an elite talent that's available, one of the best players left on the board, and it also somewhat matches a need. So, you know, it's kind of just something that feels right. You know, it would make more sense at that point.
All right, let's go ahead and move on. We told you guys we're not going to talk too extensively about the quarterback, but actually we will be for a little bit. We actually have two segments about the quarterback, so bear with us. This segment is about should the Bears trade for Sam Darnold? Because a lot of Bears fans, listen, I got attacked in the middle of the season. I got straight up assaulted on YouTube because I said that, hey, Sam Darnold might not be that bad of an option this offseason to trade for him. Because the Jets, while, you know, they can upgrade, and I think that's what they are going to end up doing. I do think they're going to draft a quarterback. I still think Sam Darnold is a good quarterback. He's still extremely young. Yes, he has some inconsistencies, but a lot of the issues that plagued him were the same reasons that led the Miami Dolphins letting Ryan Tannehill go. And he led the league in QBR this past season. You know, he's been really good for that Titans team. And it's because this Adam Gase scheme, which also comes with a bunch of terrible surrounding players, just has not worked in the NFL. You know, it just hasn't worked in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, with Sam Darnold, it's real interesting because, you know what, I think that, you know, had he landed in the right situation, he could be one of the premier quarterback names in the NFL right now. Mm-hmm. I honestly think he does have those skills and intangibles as a quarterback. I will say this, though. I think that if he comes and plays on this Bears team, to me, it just feels like a situation that's similar to Jay Cutler. Mm. Kind of coming into a point in his career where it's almost about the same time, and he's got about as much NFL tape on him, has some inconsistencies, some non-perfections, but you look at it, you go, the arm is great, his pocket presence is usually pretty good. He's dealt with some, you know, really bad offensive lines there in New York where he's just been swamped sometimes.
Terrible, you know, offense.
He's not
lines.
Somewhat...
Makes this previous... He's not... This 2019 and 2020 Bears offensive lines look like, you know, the Eagles back in 2017.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they are really bad. And I think that, you know, you look at it and you go, okay, you put him with the Bears. The Bears are probably not going to completely fix everything that's wrong with him. So he's going to keep having those inconsistencies, those, you know... He has been a bit plagued by, you know, interceptions at times. Mm-hmm. And you look at Jay Cutler, when he did not have good offensive lines here in Chicago, he struggled with throwing interceptions. So I think that, you know, if the Bears were able to consistently put Darnold into a situation, you know, good situations, they could succeed with him. But Darnold is not the quarterback where we can put him in here and, you know, on the off year where he kind of has a scrub offensive line, he is really going to suffer, and the team is going to suffer as well.
I think Darnold is a really good option for all the Bears fans in our YouTube comments. They're always commenting whenever we talk about a quarterback, well, who's going to block for them? You know, thank you guys for obviously bringing that up, because that is a huge question in this discussion. And I guess I think that we honestly have been almost so focused in on this quarterback that it can sometimes... We can forget that there are other pieces that are going to lead to the success of whatever quarterback we throw out there.
100%.
And with Darnold, you could really do everything. For the Bears fans that want the Bears to keep Allen Robinson, if they get Darnold, they can do that. They can also still maintain their first round pick and add a really good offensive lineman. You know, they could really... I think Darnold is one of the best options because of what you could do with it. And he's also a high upside guy. It's not like you're going to be bringing, you know, Jameis Winston in here and like praying for a miracle, or Ryan Fitzpatrick or Gardner Minshew. It's not like you're praying for a miracle. You know that he has a franchise quarterback in him. It's just a question of how far down the road are we, where are we able to fix him? Are we able to get him back on track to becoming that guy for this team? Or even just good enough? My thought is that, you know, Darnold could execute the scheme that Mitchell Trubisky was running last offseason toward the end of the year in his sleep. I mean, that's just simple for him, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And that's the floor, okay.
Yeah, I think in comparison to Trubisky, I mean, I think Darnold has a much higher football IQ. And when it comes to, you know, it was between Minshew, or someone like Fitzpatrick or Winston, I'll take Darnold 100% over all those names, because he still has a lot more potential. And, you know, you're not just bringing in someone as simply a stopgap, because trust me, you know, you bring in maybe Winston out of all those names that, you know, I just threw out there, maybe has some ability to turn it around and could, you know, have a sustainable career. And Ryan Fitzpatrick has certainly had a sustainable career, but he's, you know, definitely getting towards the end of it. You know, they're not just one-year solutions. You know, Darnold is someone that could possibly take you, you know, he could be your quarterback for, you know, 5 to 10 years, you know, optimally. So there is a chance that it could work out. I think that, I don't know, what would I be willing to give up for Darnold? Maybe a third?
Yeah.
Does that sound
That's what I fair? Think he's going to go feel, for, truthfully. I think he's going to go for a third.
And you have to now you have to look at that. You know, you kind of have to be like, okay, so that third round pick, at least in this year's draft, you have to look at what quarterbacks would still be available at that point. And you're certainly not looking at Kyle Trask. Nobody. You're thinking at best case scenario, maybe Jamie Newman. But I feel like even he's starting to get a little bit more rise.
Maybe Jamie Newman, Ian Book, maybe. Like those are the guys that we're talking about. And hell, even if it's Darnold, and here's another great thing that I think about Darnold is that, you know, let's say he comes out here. If a good quarterback falls to us or within a decent range, we could still move up and grab him. No issue. You know, you're not going to get grilled for trading a third for Darnold if a great quarterback that you foresee is better than him falls in the draft.
Yeah. No, I mean, honestly, when you go to, like, if you're comparing, you're like, all right, Ian Book or Sam Darnold, I mean, you don't got to think about that one. I'm definitely taking Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, I just think that Sam desperately needs a change of scenery. Desperately needs a change of scenery. And I think that he does have it left in him. If you look at any of these guys, really, that are on the table for the Bears, we're not including Deshaun, you know, because that's a dream scenario, right? And let's talk about realistic options at this point. We're not including Deshaun. You know, we're not going to include Dak Prescott because there's no doubt in my mind that he's getting franchise tagged. I just cannot foresee a scenario where he just gets to walk free.
Yeah.
You know, maybe next year if they try to franchise tag him again, but I just cannot foresee that scenario. There are no other potential franchise quarterbacks available. Sam Darnold is the only player left that, you know, we talk about that percentage game, has a certain percentage of a chance that he could be a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, a certain percentage, and, you know, maybe it's not the most likely thing in the world, but
it's there.
You always have to, you know, keep in mind, you know, value. You know, I mean, there are players that, you know, have been valued at a third round pick that have really turned things around. I mean, you look at, you know, Russell Wilson was a third round pick, and of course Sam Darnold was a first overall pick. But wait, I believe so, right?
Sam Darnold, he was third overall. The Baker Mayfield was third taken overall. First overall.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I know. I'm not a Baker Mayfield fan personally. I just, you know, I think he's okay.
Yeah. I mean, Sam Darnold, first round quarterback, but of course, I think his value right now would be at like a third. So, I mean, just because that's what their value is at now doesn't mean that's what their ceiling is going to be. I mean, certainly that's what makes the game of football interesting, is that things can change and, you know, one player can have a great season, you know, one year and can totally lose the next year. So you kind of just got to play the probabilities and the odds game and, you know, hope it works out in your favor.
I mean, look at like guys like Carson Palmer and Alex Smith, you know, those guys both found new teams and started performing really well in them. And I'm not putting that out the window for Darnold. Also, again, the whole Gase comparison with Ryan Tannehill, he was ruining Ryan Tannehill, certainly not using him properly. I think that is probably going to be the case with Darnold as well. You just need to find a way. I mean, who on that Jets team at any weapon is worth naming? There is none. There's no real running backs worth naming. There's no real wide receivers worth naming. Robbie Anderson was the best damn thing he had, and that was a year ago. That wasn't even this season.
Yeah, they don't got Le'Veon Bell anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have literally nothing to cling.
And they had a crappy Le'Veon Bell when they had him at that. All right.
Yeah.
You know, let's talk about the draft a little bit now. Mac Jones, he's supposedly rising. You know, I don't know how true this is, but I think there is a certain amount of truth to it. He's still definitely attainable for the Bears, but some people are saying that he might be the third or fourth quarterback taken. So that means he might go above Trey Lance, and some people are saying even Justin Fields, which to me is insane. That's insane to me to think that Mac Jones should go above Trey Lance or, you know, Justin Fields, because those guys, their potential is just so much higher. But, you know, the NFL is weird sometimes. Sometimes really, really weird things happen. I mean, look at Trubisky, who was taking over both Mahomes and Watson. And while that was kind of predicted pre-draft, you know, it was still a shock to some. What would you feel?
Yeah.
What do you feel about this whole Mac Jones rising situation?
I think what people are doing is they're really keen in on his accuracy, right? And in some cases, his presence in the pocket, you know, people will say, hey, he's not the most mobile of quarterbacks, but, you know, he has really good pocket presence. Mm-hmm. Look at, I think one thing, and it's a really weird connection, but one thing that has driven Mac Jones up the board is that Tom Brady won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Honestly, it does him so much justice that, like, people are like, you know what? Look, boom, you know, pocket quarterbacks can do it. You know, first off, like, you know, pocket quarterbacks couldn't win you Super Bowls anymore. But, you know, it's kind of like a weird subliminal thing that people are doing. Like, you know what? He can be someone that's really successful. He has some of the same traits. At the same time, though, it's hard not to believe that all those weapons that he was surrounded on in Alabama didn't quite enhance his play that we saw. And also the scheme that he was in. I mean, there's so much made about Alabama quarterbacks, and I don't want to be like, boom, throw it on the table. Don't want him simply because he's a quarterback from Alabama, because it should never be that black and white, and you should do real player development. But there is also alarm bells when you go and you're like, okay, draft picks at this position from the school are not consistently putting out, aren't performing that well in the NFL, or at least aren't performing at levels of franchise quarterbacks in the NFL, you know, during this era. I don't think that's unreasonable to make that claim. And, you know, I think Mac Jones does have a lot of positive intangibles about him. There are reasons why people are excited about him. But, you know, when you throw him up there with those other names, right, when it goes between Justin Fields or, you know, Trey Lance, I don't think there's much of a debate there as to which ones I would want. I'd want Fields and Trey Lance. There's not many quarterbacks that, you know, I'd be like, you know, I'd take Mac Jones over them, you know, that has a, you know, first or second round rating, personally.
Man. Yeah, you know, the hard thing is that I've been trying, honestly, to be less biased with this whole Mac Jones situation, because in my head, if you're not taking one of the top four guys, you probably just shouldn't even take a guy. And that's always been my opinion. I think that using a second round pick on a quarterback is one of the worst picks you can have in the NFL, because it's like, oftentimes they don't work out, and also it's still a second round pick. I'm not a huge fan of drafting a quarterback in any round outside of the first, unless it's intended to be a backup or like a developmental guy when you already have a quarterback. And unfortunately, yeah, I do believe that Mac Jones is probably, when you're looking at percentages, one of the most likely scenarios for the Bears at quarterback. And I could also see Mac Jones, I could see there being a scenario that he does have success in the NFL. Because if you want to look at the whole Tom Brady thing, there are a lot of parallels, right? You know, coming out of college, not specifically great at anything. You know, it's not like he has specifically awesome arm talent, certainly not a supreme athlete or anything like that. But the one good thing that he does is he makes good decisions. He puts up really good stats. You know, he's accurate and he's a really good processor. a lot of these things are similar things that were said about Tom Brady, and I think a lot of people are going to want to compare him to that. I think there's also a lot of parallels with him and, you know, guys like Jimmy Garoppolo, who I think is more athletic than him, but still kind of similar situation, kind of more looked at, not necessarily because of his arm strength or anything, but he made like his processing ability. Also a guy like Kirk Cousins who fell in the draft. I think there are a lot of scenarios where you look at Mac Jones and you say, out of the guys who have fell in the drafts, guys like him tend to perform the best in the NFL. But, like, I don't know, man. He just is so unathletic. Like, so horribly unathletic that, to me, it's so hard to want to bet on a guy like that. Like, it's already such a big hope to think that, you know, a guy like Justin Fields, who has so much talent and so much, you know, arm strength, and he, you know, he's seen a lot of really good defense, which Mac Jones has as well. It's already such a big gap for guys like that, that why, and especially with how the game's moving, where mobility is even of higher importance, it just really, it just seems like it's such a long shot with a guy who doesn't have those athletic traits to begin with.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of, not that the Bears should simply just be followers to what the NFL is doing. You know, I don't think the Bears should. I think the Bears should find success in their own way. But at the same time, it's kind of like, well, this team is trying to go through, like, you know, kind of adapting and catching up to the modern NFL. Like, I just feel like the Bears are kind of behind the curve. I don't feel like Mac Jones is the quarterback that's really going to push this team to where it needs to be. I mean, if for the people that are, you know, constantly obsessing over the offensive line, which we have, you know, have brought up, they definitely should be. The O-line needs at least another two, you know, two solid players to be a decent offensive line, and, you know, optimally one at tackle and, you know, one at center to really, you know, kick it off and be a, you know, one of the top 10 offensive lines. Mac Jones is going to need the best offensive line that you can get around him. I mean, in today's NFL, where teams are constantly looking for ways they can get to the quarterback, and, you know, let's say you play a team like Tampa Bay, where I know that, you know, by some grace of God, that the Bears won against Tampa Bay this season with Nick Foles at quarterback is going to make my point seem almost irrelevant. But if you're playing a team like Tampa Bay and they go out here and scheme against you, you have a weak offensive line and you have someone like Mac Jones at quarterback, you're going to be eaten alive all game. And it's going to be so hard to get out of that rut. Now you flip that mold and you have a different quarterback in there that has that mobile ability, you kind of have an escape from the constant pressure, the constant pass rush. So, I don't know. It's tough. I mean, I think Mac Jones has a ceiling of someone like Phillip Rivers. Mm-hmm. Best case scenario, he's going to be a Phillip Rivers in this league. I think worst case scenario, he's just another Alabama core. He's another AJ McCarron, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Like, I think, like, I mean, we saw Jared Goff, who I think also had similar outlook as a guy like Mac Jones, where they're kind of this pocket quarterback who shows good accuracy. But Jared Goff also had a pretty good arm on him, and he didn't turn out too well. I don't know, man. It's just the bigger issue I think I'd have with it is just sitting pat and waiting for a quarterback. It just seems like another half-baked attempt at getting your guy that I just, it wouldn't get me excited, you know?
How could it, you know? I just don't, if Mac Jones works out, let's say the Bears go out, pick Mac Jones, and he ends up being the exact quarterback this franchise needs. That'd be great.
Awesome.
You know, then that was an awesome scenario, and, you know, Ryan Pace, everyone did great, you know, standing pat, or maybe let's say they had to trade up to 15 to be sure that they got him. Then you know what? Great. You know, and we were definitely wrong. But Mac Jones is just a hard person to be excited about, you know? And it says something about today's NFL, you know, these flashy athletes, you know, the flashier people at the positions, you know, maybe it is just a little bit more eye candy, you know, your appeal to them just because they're a little bit more entertaining to watch. Maybe they're not the better player, not the best fit. But I will say, you can say with ultimate confidence that, you know, Mac Jones is just not the most exciting person. And that's not a knock on him. It's just a knock to the style of play that we see in the NFL with the RPO and just the kind of you know, the speed that's brought to the NFL offense. And you know, Mac Jones is just exactly kind of counterculture to that.
Yeah, some people are also saying that the media is too high on Lance, and NFL teams don't necessarily view him in the light that the media does. And some people are even saying they could see him fall out of the first round. If the Bears are sitting there and Lance falls to them, that I would be ecstatic. I would be absolutely ecstatic, and that's a best case scenario for this team.
And if Lance falls to them at that position and they don't take him, I will be so unbelievably upset.
Yeah.
I cannot stress that. And you know what? I can see that potentially happening too. I mean, usually the media is usually very wrong on at least one high profile player.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, people were talking about, geez, I can't even remember his name at this point. The quarterback for the Broncos, Drew Lock. People are talking about him going, you know, top 20, kind of a similar situation to Lance, where there were these couple of really good guys at the top, and then Drew Lock was kind of the last of the remaining guys, and he kind of ended up falling. He fell all the way to the second round, where the Broncos ended up drafting him. That didn't really work out for them, you know, but Lance is another player that also, with his one game he played this season, which he did not look that good in, we can talk about all, you know, we can talk about the entire podcast about how that was such a bad idea to even attempt, because it takes so long, so much practice for a college football team to even, you know, go out there, and having this like half-baked showcase game was not a good idea because the rhythm just was not there on offense because they weren't practicing all off season, clearly. So I don't think it was a good idea for him to do that, but he didn't look great in that. But, you know, he had that entire year of really, really high quality quarterback play. People are also worried about the level of competition, so that could bring him down as well.
Yeah, I know with Trey Lance, people look at it, it's the same small sample size we saw at Trubisky. And you know what? I understand all the worries, you know, when people kind of make parallels to Trubisky. I mean, honestly, as a fan base, I think everyone's just so scarred from what happened. You know, it's almost just a cut too deep that people would rather just not think about it. I think in a few years, people are going to be like, just don't even bring up that name in a way.
Yeah, and I think that I really do believe the Bears are going to end up trading up if they don't get a quarterback, because I just can't see how they would possibly stay still. And if they do stay still, believe me, I'm going to be absolutely grilling them unless they get that dream scenario where Trey Lance falls to them. But, you know, we're just going to have to see. Luckily, the draft is coming up pretty fast, honestly. End of April is the draft, so I mean, what is it? We're about to start March really soon.
We're basically 2 months away.
Two months. So, you know, 60 days. We're also going to have free agency in there at the beginning. We're about to see a really interesting offseason for this Bears team. But let's keep talking about the draft a little bit. We're going to talk about some draft prospects to keep an eye on. And none of these guys are quarterbacks. Reese and I both put, you know, five player lists together. Wait, did we do five or four?
I did four.
All right, well, I have five. Nine prospects out of two people. That's kind of weird, but let's go ahead and start it off. Reese, who's your first prospect? And by the way, these are guys not only in the first round. This could be second round, third round. This could be whatever round you want.
Yeah, and one person that he would definitely have to be someone that they'd be looking at with that 20th pick, if not a little bit higher, would be Christian Darrisaw from Virginia Tech. He is an offensive tackle, more specifically a left tackle. As far as, you know, technical offensive linemen go, this guy basically has it. I mean, throughout his whole college career, he basically improved everything technically. I think the only knock is that he could be, you know, a tad more physical and he could, you know, have a bit more strength. But when that's your knock on you, that's a great thing because you can build that strength and, you know, be more physical. It's getting that technique that's the most complicated part and that can't be taught. So I think that at that value, at that pick, he would be a fantastic addition to the offensive line.
Very athletic player, huge upside. You know, a lot of people either love him or hate him. A lot of people do knock him for that physicality aspect of his game. But he's one of those players that, at 20, I mean, I think he will be there at 20, truthfully. I do believe that he will be. And if he's there, it seems like a really smart pick because you could potentially fix that left tackle position. Maybe throw Charles Leno Jr., maybe switch him over to right tackle. Now you have a pretty good tackle duo, and that'll do some work for you. You'd be fine there. My first player, you know, kind of out of the box, we talked a little bit about this position when we were talking about our positions of need. Wide receiver Kadarius Toney out of Florida. Man, when you talk about Kadarius Toney, the first thing that pops out on the film is explosive. He's super explosive, super twitchy. He's quick. He operates primarily out of the slot. So that's, you know, picking a slot receiver so high isn't super common. But you know, in Matt Nagy's offense, really all the receivers play each individual position. So Kadarius Toney, he's going to get some time outside as well. And while he doesn't necessarily share the same profile as far as quickness, he's not as quick as this player that I'm about to mention. He does have a lot of similarities as someone like a Tyreek Hill. You know, he's that twitchy mismatch player that, you know, you can't, no, not many people will argue that he's the best wide receiver in the NFL, but he's such a mismatch and he's such a valuable piece to that Kansas City offense. And that's why I think Kadarius Toney could be for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I think that, you know, he would be extremely intriguing to bring in here. That, you know, just bringing in, like you said, maybe you don't consider him to be the best receiver in the league, but even someone like Keenan Allen, who's not quite as fast as, why am I blanking on his name?
Tyreek Hill.
Thank you. You know, he's not as fast as Tyreek Hill, but still is that tough mismatch because you can put him literally anywhere on the field. You know, it's going to be tough for a corner to guard in general, but and then you get the chance where you possibly get a linebacker or a safety lined up on him. It just really opens up the play, and you know, not only can he be a target downfield, but also someone that can catch, you know, a slant and turn it into a touchdown. I mean, just having that kind of weapon on your team does a lot. My next player is Ifeatu Melifonwu from Syracuse. He's a strong safety. Man, it takes about, I want to say, 2 minutes of watching his tape to be excited about him. I watch him and I go, you know, he's kind of a little bit like that Derwin James, except, you know, without the injury part. I don't know his full injury history, but, you know, he kind of plays that game with that real physical edge and does not shy away from playing one-on-one coverage. I mean, he is 6'3", and he uses every inch. He's going up there contesting all these jump balls. I really like what I saw from him. I think that, you know, you add him next to Eddie Jackson, you know, the kind of more aggressive defensive scheme, you know, maybe you do throw him down there. You're not scared to line up against a wide receiver, and he's going to go out there, and I think he's going to do well matching up one-on-one and also playing physical. I mean, there was literally a highlight where he hit a running back on the back and just made him cough up the football, you know, straight up into the air. I mean, he plays the game with a real physical edge.
Yeah, certainly so. And that strong safety position is definitely a position of need. I think that we've been missing, as much as I'm happy we didn't sign Adrian Amos, I do think we are missing a guy to kind of clean up underneath. We haven't really devoted a lot of attention to that position. We've been kind of comfortable switching in names and switching them out as we did with HaHa Clinton Dix. And then, you know, as of recently, Travis Gibson, you know, Treshawn Gibson. Travis Gibson is our edge rusher. Treshawn Gibson, you know, it's been a merry-go-round of players right there. I also have that as a big position of need. In my list, I put Hamza Nasir-ul-Din from Florida State University. You know, everything you said previously, kind of similar for Hamza. I think you can get him a little bit later. I think you can kind of get him maybe third round, potentially even fourth round. And I think that's a really good value for that strong safety position. Very physical. You know, he's not going to be the best in coverage if you're trying to match him up one-on-one, but he's really good at cleaning up, really good against the run. Definitely a player with high upside. Kind of reminds me of like a better version of Adrian Amos, if you will.
Honestly, that's the best part about safeties, and usually typically strong safeties as well, as you can get them pretty late. I mean, we've had the exceptions with, you know, Derwin James going, you know, very high in the past, and Tyrann Mathieu, not quite, because he was a whole situation.
He fell
because
of character issues, for those who don't remember.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't even really technically end up graduating from LSU, but, you know, you can usually get them late, and Eddie Jackson, not a strong safety, but also a case in point of how you can get a safety late in the draft that can be a very quality player. My next player was Samuel Cosmi, a tackle from Texas. I think that he's someone that if you do not get Christian Darrisaw, he's someone that you can eventually loop back to. You know, since he is a little bit lower grade of a player, he does come with a few more drawbacks, kind of an undersized tackle. Well, in college, he's usually able to, you know, deal well with people that are bigger than him. In the NFL, you can certainly expect that to be a little bit more of a struggle for him, especially early on in his career. He's going to struggle with the size and speed of some of these NFL players. At the same time, though, he does show a lot of those good technical skills. A lot of the technique is there, and he has constantly worked to bulk up. He's someone that's been undersized for most of his career, but has, you know, kind of met that with, you know, working hard to overcome that. So I think he'd be someone that they could loop around and get.
Yeah, certainly. He would also be a good guy. Some people think that he might even be there mid-second round. So you could potentially get a pretty good value there. Even if he doesn't turn out to be that great of a left tackle, maybe throwing him in at right tackle, that might, you know, also prove well. I think that we're definitely in the market for, you know, a couple tackles potentially. So yeah, definitely a big fan of Cosmi. I'm going to go ahead and say this is if, obviously all of these are predicated on the fact that we already solved the quarterback position, because if we don't solve the quarterback position, then also don't draft a quarterback in the first round, that's going to be pretty upsetting. So assuming that we do solve that quarterback position in the first round, I think a guy that could potentially be there might need a slightly trade up into maybe, you know, 15, 14 area, is edge Gregory Rousseau out of Miami. He has everything physically you want out of an edge rusher. He shows a good amount of polish too. He is NFL ready. And something that we need to remember is that Robert Quinn, he's getting older quickly. So is Mac. And we're probably going to need to move on from Robert Quinn after this following year. It might be the best idea considering, you know, he won't have any more dead money and he hasn't been the most productive for us. So having a young guy that you can groom, you know, to potentially be your successor to a guy like Khalil Mack, you know, the Denver model, how they tried to do as they did with Von Miller. And then now that they're now what they're doing with Chubb that they have over there as well. I think that'd be a great idea personally.
Yeah, I think getting more talent at that edge rusher position is something that is needed. And, you know, the Bears have not found, you know, the person to pair up with Mac. I think Quinn was definitely a big letdown, and, you know, hopefully he's able to turn that around this year, but we'll have to see. My next player is Nico Collins, wide receiver from Michigan, someone that I think would probably have a lot higher grade if he actually played. He was someone that sat out this past season. I think he brings a lot of, you know, assets that this offense would be great at. He's good at catching contested footballs. I think he's a really crisp route runner. You know, honestly, I think he was someone that Michigan was never really able to utilize, you know, quite to the best of his abilities. I think we saw the same thing with someone like Donovan Peoples-Jones, who I think really excelled with the Cleveland Browns and really showed a lot of his skill set that we didn't get to see at Michigan. I think Nico Collins is someone that brings a lot of great assets. I think he's someone that, if you're looking for someone that has a similar makeup to Allen Robinson, honestly, he is really your guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I watch him play, he's someone that goes out there and he approaches the game a lot like Allen Robinson, catches a lot of contested footballs and doesn't really drop. He's had a few instances of drops, but it really has not been a very common problem.
Yeah, obviously, Nico Collins, very talented wide receiver. You know, I'm going to press you on the Allen Robinson comparison because I think Rashad Bateman is a better comparison for Allen Robinson than Nico Collins. Probably. But, you know, just got to throw that out there in case Rashad Bateman ends up turning out pretty good. But no, Nico Collins, and the thing that's really good about him as well is you can get him later in the draft than someone like Rashad Bateman. You can probably get him all the way maybe to like the fourth round or something like that. You can get him really, really late. you know, outside of that, I think receiver is going to be a big need, especially if we lose Allen Robinson. And if we're drafting quarterback with the first round pick, he might be for sure a guy to look at. For my next pick, I'm going to go ahead and give it to Creed Humphrey, center out of Oklahoma. Now, he's one of the most dominant offensive linemen in this class, and I think you could potentially get him mid-second round. In that, with Creed Humphrey, you're going to be getting an absolute road graver, you know, someone who's going to be able to clear the way for a guy like David Montgomery, and I think could be one of the best value picks in this draft. So taking him in the second round, especially if you get a guy like Sam Darnold, start building that offensive line around him, maybe get an offensive tackle in the first round, like you were saying, and then come back and get that center in the second round, that could completely change the look of this team.
Yeah, and it's always nice to have a quarterback and then also bring in that centerpiece with it, kind of build that relationship. They have a very kind of unique bond that isn't really talked about too much in football, but that is honestly really important to get on the same page. And, you know, to bring in someone new like that and also bring in a new quarterback would honestly make a lot of sense and would be a very smart, you know, move moving forward.
Yeah, and I think, like, again, if we're talking about the Sam Darnold situation that I think a lot of Bears fans are talking themselves into, even if you don't get an offensive tackle at that first round pick and you go with someone like a Kadarius Toney and then come back and get a Creed Humphrey, then you're and you also maintain Allen Robinson, then you're talking about an offense that looks like it could be pretty good. One last player that I want to throw out there, because I think he could potentially be a good trade back option. A really good value. Maybe you can trade back to the very last pick. Maybe you trade back with Kansas City or the 31st pick with, or sorry, the 31st pick with Kansas City or the 32nd pick with the Buccaneers. Potentially Travis Etienne. You know, the Bears are not in dire need for a running back at all. You know, but if you have a quarterback option, again, that you feel comfortable with, if you maybe instead of, maybe you keep Allen Robinson, again, Sam Darnold situation, you keep Allen Robinson, maybe you sign an offensive tackle in free agency, and now you're kind of at best player available. I think Travis Etienne could be one of the best value picks in the draft. Again, he's a guy that's extremely explosive at that running back position, and I think he'd be a perfect duo with David Montgomery and could really take this running game from, you know, good with David Montgomery and Tariq Cohen to, like, great. It could be a great running game. And the running game has kind of reemerged as one of the most important pieces of an offense in the NFL as of late, especially with teams that have prioritized so heavily at that running back position. I mean, Green Bay did it. You know, the 49ers have done it. The Buccaneers have done it. Even Kansas City has done it. This, the idea of having one workhorse running back in the NFL is going extinct at this point.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, having watched Etienne was someone that seemed like he was at Clemson forever. I mean, I think it's just because of how four-year dominant starter, they are, right? And that you're always... that you're always watching, you know, them playing big games, you know, come New Year and that time of the year. But man, I mean, I always liked watching him. He's someone that's very shifty, but not someone, usually you're kind of like, oh, if someone that's like shifty, you know, they're not very physical. But Travis at the end, I mean, he's honestly kind of someone that brings it all. And you know, David Montgomery, I think, is a great piece to build around. I think he's going to be a good back for, you know, this franchise for, you know, years to come. Still has many good years in front of him, but you pair him with someone like Etienne, and trust me, Montgomery's going to be happy about it too. It's probably going to end up resulting in him getting less touches, but he's probably going to get put in more beneficial situations. It's really going to open it up for both of them. I mean, when you're able to get two good backs, ultimately three good backs that can complement and pair off of each other, I mean, look at what we saw with Fournette and Ronald Jones in the Super Bowl. I mean, they are two totally different backs, but you're able to use them interchangeably, and it takes you a long way. I mean, honestly, and be able to keep them fresh and you know, keep some years on those, you know, running backs' lives. You know, they get beat up too much.
Yeah, they do. And exactly. I think that keeping running backs fresh, keeping legs fresh, I think it's so important. And while I could understand how this could be a highly criticized pick, because running back, you know, having a second good running back is definitely a luxury, if you're already comfortable with Sam Darnold, and that's really the Bears' plan, and they're not going to draft a quarterback, and you're keeping Allen Robinson, and you don't need to worry about having that number one wide receiver, and maybe you add an offensive tackle in the draft or in free agency, or there just isn't a good one available, it could potentially be a great value to trade back, maybe even pick up another second round pick. Hell, you could even probably trade out of the first round, maybe in the top couple second round picks, and pick up Travis Etienne, and then also pick up another high pick in exchange for that, and go with, you know, another guy in the second round as well.
Yeah. No, I mean, the Bears are certainly, you know, not, you know, void of options in this draft. I mean, they can play this a lot of different ways, and man, it's certainly going to have us on the edge of our seats. I think that, you know, all the way up to that pick 20, I'm going to be edge of the seat to see if the Bears are going to end up trading up. And, you know, honestly, I don't see them ever trading down, but, you know, they could definitely still make some moves in some of those later rounds, like the second and third. They could be very active. And when players come up, I mean, like we said, like we talked about the whole quarterback situation, I mean, this is really Nagy's and Pace's year. You have to get the feeling that if, you know, Pace has someone that he's been eyeing and they're available, you know, they're slipping a little bit down other people's boards, you feel like they might just go up and, you know, the Bears aren't usually a very aggressive team, but maybe we're going to see a little bit more aggression.
Yeah, and, you know, while they haven't, they're not super aggressive in many ways, you have seen them, you know, when they've needed a quarterback being somewhat aggressive. Obviously, they tried to get Brady. They moved up for Mitch to make sure they secure their guy, and that worked out well for them, didn't it? I think that the real value picks in this draft, I think once you get past like pick 15, like 15 to like 32, all those guys are pretty equal. And it's not like, it's not a huge value picking within that range of 15 to 32. I feel like some of the best values in this draft are actually in the high second round. There's a lot of good players that could be there, a lot of good cornerbacks. Paulson Adebo, you know, J.C. Horn, maybe a lot of guys are there. So it might make sense in a scenario that if you have that quarterback position figured out, trading back, maybe exchanging your first round pick for two second round picks. I know the Jaguars have, you know, round two pick one, and then they have like the 11th pick in the second round as well. So that's certainly an option there as well. So it's going to be really interesting, man, when we kind of see how this all breaks down. Again, we are going to be on the edge of our seats unless we, you know, trade away that first round pick in exchange for a quarterback. It's going to be something really interesting. And it's going to be important as a Bears fan to turn on that draft early, because they're definitely a team that are going to be looking to trade up if they don't have that quarterback option on the roster already. So I would definitely recommend tuning in at the first pick and watching closely.
Let's just hope that, you know, this, you know, 2021 draft, that some of the names pan out as well as they did in the 2020 draft. I think that the NFL definitely got a lot of really good talent from last year's draft, and some of them really started to make an impact right away. I mean, even look at, you know, some players that were kind of slept on, you know, like Justin Jefferson compared to like CeeDee Lamb and Ruggs. You know, he was a really, really good pick for Minnesota. In the 20s, the last year's draft, I believe it was like 22, right? I think last year. I mean, that just goes to show you the Bears can get a really good pick even without trading up. But, you know, hopefully there are some more gems to be found in this draft. And, you know, I'm certain that a lot of Bears fans are going to be paying attention to the draft, especially if the whole quarterback situation isn't figured out by then. It's going to be, you know, I feel like sports media here in Chicago will be going crazy.
It'll be interesting if we get one of the, you know, rare prior to the draft trade ups, like what happened with the Colts and the Jets in order for the Jets to secure Sam Darnold, where the Jets essentially trade away a couple of picks prior to the draft. You know, it happened with, God, who was it? The Titans and the Rams, when the Rams wanted to get Goff. It happens. It does happen. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it, man. But other than that, guys, I think that's where we're going to end the show. Thank you so much once again. If you have the time, please go ahead and check out manscaped.com. Obviously, that's going to help going forward financially support the podcast so that we can just produce better content for all of you guys listening at home. But other than that, any last words, Reese?
No, I think that's about it.
All right, guys. Thank you so much, and bear down.
Bear down.